This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration have been an influential part of La Crosse's history. They founded Viterbo University and St. Francis Hospital, what's now called Mayo Franciscan Health System. But last month, the FSPA announced they're handing over leadership at these organizations and starting a new chapter of community involvement. Joining us to talk about what this means for these organizations and the community are Sister Karen Leek, president of the FSPA, Dr. Tim Johnson, Mayo Clinic's regional vice president for Southwestern Wisconsin, and Joe Cruz, Mayo's administrative chair for Southwestern Wisconsin. And Sister Karen, I wonder if you could start by talking about why the Franciscan Sisters decided to make this switch.
Well, I think it's part of our history. I mean, we always are looking for what the emerging needs of the times are. So when we when the community was started in 1849, they immediately got into, like, orphanages, you know, meeting the needs of the German immigrants. And so that, you know, developed into the different institutions, like Viterbo was originally for educating our sisters in how to teach. And then Mayo was St. Francis Hospital at the time, you know, meeting the needs there. So we just feel like it's time now to move on to other needs, possibly. And so we realize how well the Viterbo and Mayo Franciscan are, you know, doing. They're so well led and their staffs are so good and the values have been permeating the organizations. And we feel confident that now that we can, you know, hand it over to lay leadership completely and so that we can maybe do other things that are more emerging needs today, like, you know, human trafficking, the immigration system, the care for the environment, and obviously we have perpetual adoration too, so we're always praying for the needs of the world.
When did the FSPA start looking at making this transition?
Oh, we've been looking at it for years, probably really seriously looking at, you know, actually putting something on paper 3 years ago probably, but we've been looking at it for a while. We take a lot of time discerning always what we're going to do next, because it's always seeing what are the needs of the time, how is our organization, you know, what are we able to do, and so it takes a while. So we've been working at it for a while, and I think gradually we just keep seeing how well the organizations are doing and how well they're staffed. So we have no question then about, you know, moving on to something else while we continue to collaborate with them.
Yeah, so why now? Is there any factor that kind of started this transition?
Well, it's probably something simple, like our leadership team is, you know, 4-year term, and we're in our fourth year right now, and we're thinking, okay, this is the time to move on it. And so that was the main reason for right now, because we've realized it all along that, you know, this would be the next step. We're not so much into organizational oversight anymore. We're more into maybe hands-on kind of things. So it just seemed like the makeup of our community and the needs of the world were right at this time, good time for the change.
So, Joe, what will this mean for Mayo Franciscan?
Well, it probably, there's more that will stay the same than will change. We still want to honor and imbue our culture with the Franciscan values that the sisters have passed on to us. I think that it means, you know, once this is all complete, there is a corporate change. Right now, there are two members of our corporation, Mayo Clinic Health System, Franciscan Healthcare, as two corporate members, Mayo Clinic and the Franciscan Sisters. So going forward, once this is complete, there'll be one corporate member. But really, in terms of day-to-day operations, there's almost no change, no impact, significant impact. There are three sisters that serve on our board, and we're hoping that they will continue and that when their terms are up, that other Franciscan sisters might want to continue. But they wouldn't be representing the sponsor. They would be as board members, community-based board members. So I think that that really summarizes the change as we understand it. It is. I don't want to minimize it though either, because it is a very significant event in the history of the organization, and there is a sense of loss that comes with this.
Yeah, Dr. Johnson, can you talk about some of the factors that Mayo still needs to kind of work through as we make this transition?
Well, I think there are some of the practical issues of going from two corporate members to one corporate members. Unfortunately, when this new structure was originated in 1995, I think a lot of thought went into the agreements at that time, realizing that at some time in the future, the partnership would change. And based on those agreements and how a separation might happen and a change in the partnership, that was sort of put into the agreement from the get-go. And so it is, from a practical perspective, really following those guidelines that were put in place 22 years ago when the partnership was formed. That's sort of the technical aspects of how to get this accomplished. As Joe mentioned, that this is a loss. This is an emotional change for us. The sisters have been an incredible witness. They've been an incredible force. I think we have absorbed much of that Franciscan culture and heritage. We realize we have a responsibility for it to continue. I'm confident that we can do that, but it is just a little different.
And I have to ask, will the system still be called Mayo Franciscan?
For the time being, we will continue to call ourselves Mayo Franciscan and have no immediate plans to change the name.
So the Franciscan Sisters, they first founded St. Francis Hospital in 1883, and it was Western Wisconsin's first private hospital. Sister Karen, why did the FSPA want to start St. Francis Hospital? Can you give us a little background?
Yeah, I don't think they wanted to, but people came to them because hospitals at that time were not for, people like the riverboat workers. And the riverboat workers, they needed a place where they could, have health care. And so some doctors came to the community and said, would you help us out? Would you start a hospital? And our sisters had never been into hospitals, and they go, start a hospital. We wouldn't know the first thing about it. And the doctor said, we will teach you, and will you do it? And again, the needs of the time, it reared right in front of us. And so the sisters said, yes, we'll do it as long as you tell us what to do. So that, we got fully involved in it. And, we have a lot of sisters who have served a long time at the hospital and really, really enjoyed it. So it has become one of our main things that we have done in the past, healthcare, And now we're looking at different ways. How do we want to keep healthcare going in some ways? They're obviously going to take it from the institutional level. And then we have sisters who do massage or they do alternative kind of medicines, that kind of thing, So we're healing, teaching, and praying. Those are the three things that we're kind of saying, and it changes as time goes on.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the future of Mayo Franciscan Health System and Viterbo University as the Franciscan Sisters transition out of leadership at these organizations. We're here with Sister Karen Leek, FSPA President, Dr. Tim Johnson, and Joe Cruz from Mayo Franciscan Health System. And Joe, we're talking about how the FSPA, started St. Francis Hospital back in the 1800s. I wonder how, from your perspective, how that's been a driving force in where La Crosse is at today and the, just the availability of healthcare and, all of the different healthcare, organizations and opportunities.
You know, we have a rich history of great healthcare here in La Crosse, and the Franciscan Sisters have been at the center of that for well over a century. And not just here in La Crosse. The hospital in Sparta was founded 101 years ago by the Franciscan Sisters. Very, very similar story in a smaller community. So that responding, that legacy of responding to community needs is really the story of the Franciscan Sisters. And Tom Thibodeau says that if it wasn't for the Franciscan Sisters, La Crosse would be Prairie du Chien, which is not meant to be a slam on Prairie du Chien, but it does kind of point out what an incredible contribution the Sisters have made to our community in terms of healthcare and education. We have, you know, great education here. Viterbo is a gem, I think, and we're proud to be associated with Viterbo and share that Franciscan heritage. And we're very proud of what we've been able to be part of over the decades that we've been a Franciscan-sponsored healthcare organization.
And so, you know, this hospital has been through kind of several different eras. And so, you know, Sister Karen, I wonder if you could talk about kind of what the hospital looked like when it was first founded and during that, I believe, 100 years of when it was, you know, really run by the FSPA.
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to the doctors, it was really the sisters pretty much doing everything. They were the administrators. They were the nurses. They were eventually the St. Francis School of Nursing was begun to teach the nurses, and they were the teachers there, too. So everything was pretty much, you know, done by the sisters. And then as times went on, I mean, we realized that other people had the expertise, you know, at that time. It was maybe the sisters who had learned enough to do it. And now, and then after that, there were nurses and doctors and, you know, all the different jobs that lay people got into, and they were all very qualified with that. So then our sisters eventually started moving into other things. But, yeah, at first it was all the sisters, you know. So when you hear talk to some old-timers, they always say, oh, yeah, I remember when Sister taught me this, or she would always say this, and they'd be there like morning till night. Sometimes they didn't get back till midnight to their convents because they were the ones in charge, you know, and they had to make sure everything was running. So it's very different now.
Yeah. And the, you know, FSPA started this partnership with Mayo in 1995. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could talk about how things started changing then.
I think it was, I don't know all the details. I wasn't in this position at that time. But I think that whole thing with collaboration, I think we had, the FSPA had begun to realize that we weren't going to be able to do anything alone anymore. As our demographics changed and as the needs of the world changed. And so with all our institutions and our ministries, we decided that we couldn't do it alone. So we needed to collaborate with other institutions. And so in 1995, we were looking at who are we going to collaborate with, you know, to really make this a successful operation and to, you know, to serve the needs of La Crosse. And anyway, so we decided that Mayo was the partner to go with. And it's been a wonderful collaboration for 22 years. I really respect Mayo Clinic's values and, you know, that kind of thing. And they've been harmonious with our values, too. And so we've had a great relationship. And we'll continue to collaborate. That's, I think, what we're looking forward to is not to be on the oversight level of institutions. We want to work in collaboration. So we will continue that with the three institutions that we've passed on now. We want to be collaborators, equal. So,
Doctor, Joe.
One of the things that I think is good about the situation with Mayo is Mayo has a strong Franciscan tradition as well with St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester was founded a year or two later than La Crosse by another order of Franciscan sisters. And so there's a real deep appreciation for and respect for the Franciscan tradition and Franciscan values at Mayo Clinic, which I think serves us well into the future. So it is the going forward, our corporate sponsor understands what that means and will honor that.
Absolutely. And Dr. Johnson, you know, can you talk a little bit about how things have changed since Mayo first started this partnership with the FSPA in 1995? You know, what big changes have happened at the healthcare system?
Well, a lot has just happened with healthcare in general. And so keeping up with those changes are always a challenge and involves a lot of change. So bringing in more technology advances in medicine. Mayo Clinic is world-renowned for research and education. And so taking a cutting-edge research that's being done in the laboratory and rapidly transforming that to patient care and patient care in communities is something that we focus on, we try to do. So there's the whole area of new technologies. A lot has changed in simply how we run the organizations. Now, when we started the Mayo Clinic Health System in the early 90s, the individual health system sites were really pretty independent. We call it a holding company model. And worked well initially. But as medicine changes, as the pressures on the cost of care increase, and as we try to figure out how to be providing higher and higher quality at lower and lower cost, the holding company model probably isn't the best. And so we've really focused a lot on how do we integrate the practice in the Midwest? How do we bring all of the 70-plus clinics and hospitals together to function more in a uniform way where we try to maximize the whole? And how does that impact patients? And then how do we integrate more and more with the research and academic medical center in Rochester and take full advantage of all of that knowledge and rolling it out in the community setting? It's quite a challenge. It's very exciting. And it's definitely the direction that we're putting more and more emphasis on.
Do you feel like this transition will help the hospital and clinics here in the La Crosse area be more a part of that integrated system?
I don't think the transition will impact that in any way. We, as Sister Karen said, the collaboration, the partnership with Mayo has been excellent. So pulling that partnership or changing that partnership won't add or take away from all of the collaboration or the community care that's going on.
Yeah, Joe, can you talk a little bit more about how this partnership has been unique for Mayo?
This is the only Mayo entity that I'm aware of that provides patient care that is a shared sponsorship. It has been a shared sponsorship model. So it really is unique in all of Mayo Clinic's businesses and operations, at least in the United States. They don't have any other corporate partners, which I think is a testament to their respect and admiration for the sisters. They felt very comfortable doing that 22 years ago, and I think there's some the sense of loss that I shared with you is both here and in Rochester. I think that they recognize that this has been good and beneficial, and it's everybody understands why, I think, but it's still a transition that you just as soon not have to do.
That's Joe Cruz, Mayo's Administrative Chair for Southwestern Wisconsin, here with us today to talk about a new focus for the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration and how the change will impact Mayo Franciscan Health System and Viterbo University. Also joining us are Dr. Tim Johnson from Mayo Franciscan and Sister Karen Leek, FSPA President. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, Sister Karen, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the FSPA sees this as an opportunity to do more collaboration with Mayo. And I wonder if you could talk more about what that might look like.
I think we're in the process right now of transition, so we're trying to figure that out. We know we want to maintain relationships because that's what Franciscans are about maintaining a relationship. So we have a mission integration person that staffs one of our offices, and he's going to be meeting with people in the future now to see what is it that would really that we really want to do with each other, you know, so that we maintain the relationship and reach out to others. You know, like, for example, one thing that we've been doing in the past is like St. Clair Health Mission, where, you know, the FSPAs, the Mayo Clinic, Mayo Franciscan and Gunderson have, you know, run that place together. So that's a real collaboration. Then there's, you know, things like in our neighborhood that are sponsored or that people from Mayo and from the Sisters work at together. So those are things that are already happening. So I think that'll just continue, you know, as we see new needs. We know each other now, you know, so we can talk to each other and say, what is it we, you know, both can bring? Or what is it that we can bring to a collaboration that's already begun? So I think it's just going to continue to develop as time goes on, but we are very committed to that continuing collaboration.
You know, and I would add to that just the whole aspect in the role that spiritual care plays in healing and how the sisters bring great expertise and wisdom in that whole spiritual dimension. Also through the Spirituality Center. And we rely on that expertise and wisdom as we try to take care of the whole person. It's a very significant aspect of care and healing.
I want to talk more about how this will impact Mayo in a minute, but there is another organization that's definitely going to be impacted by this new transition for FSPA, and mm-hmm. that's Viterbo University.
That's correct.
And, you know, Sister Karen, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what this will mean for the university.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's, you know, our oversight will no longer be there. But other than that, there's not a lot of, you know, changes that you'll see in the university either. We are appointing a group called Viterbo Ministries, who will be a group that takes that oversight that we had so that the university can stay a Catholic university. So this new group of people called, you know, Viterbo Ministries will oversee the institution in the way of making sure that the Catholic values and Catholic traditions are maintained, because that was our role, you know, recently. Again, our sisters will continue to serve on the board. We have some of our sisters on staff over there. Volunteers. So all of that will continue. There aren't a lot of changes that you're going to see. You know, Viterbo has a very strong Franciscan dedication to Franciscan values over there. So we're just really proud of, you know, what they do. So that will all continue.
So the Franciscan Sisters, you know, they started Viterbo University in 1890 mm-hmm. To educate its members, as you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, and then opened that to the public starting in the 1940s. I wonder if you can give a little bit of the history of, you know, why the FSPA, you know, saw this need and you know, used the university to address that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said at the beginning, when we came to the United States in 1849, that's when our community began. Immediately, there were schools and parishes who wanted us, the sisters, to teach in schools, and the sisters didn't have any background in that. So we gradually kept getting more and more parish schools that we were teaching in, but the sisters, you know, didn't have any formal education. So in 1890, then, we established what was then called St. Rose Normal School. In other words, to teach our sisters to be able to teach, you know. So that's how it began. And again, it was the meeting the needs of the times. I mean, the sisters were out there teaching. They had probably no, like I said, no background in it, but they were willing to do it. And so now, as time went on, there were more standards, you know, that education in the United States had or whatever. And so our sisters needed to be up to date in that. So in 1940, I think we admitted our first lay woman as a student. And in the 1970s, we admitted the first men, so it went co-ed at that point. So it changed all along, but again, it was responding to what the world was at that time. And so we just have continued to go with the flow and, and do what we needed to do. So, and at the beginning, again, our sisters ran everything. They were the president. They were the board members. They were all the teachers. They even lived on fifth floor of Viterbo, the teachers, So it was a very small kind of a group or whatever. But that has changed now, and has been changing for years.
How do you think, the FSPA and Viterbo University has really influenced, I guess, education opportunities in La Crosse and just the importance of education in the city?
Mm-hmm. I think Viterbo has a lot of tentacles all over the place, where they are interns. Viterbo students are interns. They are, they've educated a lot of the teachers that probably are teaching in La Crosse. They've got a strong business school. They've got a great fine arts, nursing, all of those kinds of things. So a lot of the nurses that are working in La Crosse probably have been educated there also. So a lot of the people that are working in La Crosse have been educated there. And I think it's with the Franciscan values, that comes through. Viterbo has something called the leadership,
servant
leadership. Thank you for saying that. And that has influenced a lot too. So a lot of the business people, have gotten a master's in servant leadership. So they have, ethical values as they move forward in business. And then we have a strong ethics center also. So all of those kinds of things have really influenced this particular city, but then, all over also.
Yeah, and Joe, I wonder if Viterbo University has also been beneficial for Mayo and kind of this, this partnership in the community.
Yes, it certainly has been. A couple of things that come to my mind. One of them is we share the same neighborhood. And so we've, done a nice job of collaborating in a variety of different ways. We together worked with the city of La Crosse to help fund the neighborhood policing program that we have in our neighborhood. We've also been very engaged with the Boys and Girls Club Center. That is, that model of a Boys and Girls Club on a college campus is, this was the first one in the country, and I think it's been held out as a great example to the rest of the nation in Boys and Girls Club circles as a model that really is important and can bring a lot of value to a community. We provide two master's level clinical therapists or social workers, I should say, that work with kids at risk at the Boys and Girls Club in collaboration with Viterbo. I think actually both of those people that have those jobs are Viterbo graduates. So the relationship is very strong. And then, as Sister said, Viterbo has been an incredibly important source of professional nurses for us for decades. And they've really, that cadre of nursing talent that's come out of Viterbo has been incredibly important to all of us in La Crosse that need healthcare, because nursing is such an important part of that.
Joe Cruz, Mayo's Administrative Chair for Southwestern Wisconsin, is here with us today to talk about the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration's recent announcement that they're transitioning out of a leadership role at Mayo Franciscan Health System and Viterbo University. Also joining us are Sister Karen Leek, President of the FSPA, and Dr. Tim Johnson, Mayo Clinic's Regional Vice President for Southwestern Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how the FSPA has impacted the community, and what are the organization's next steps? You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the future of Viterbo University and Mayo Franciscan Health System as the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration transition out of leadership roles. Last month, the FSPA announced they would be handing over the organizations in order to address different needs within the community. Joining us to talk about what those new issues are and what the transition means for Viterbo and Mayo Franciscan are Sister Karen Leek, President of the FSPA, Dr. Tim Johnson, Mayo Clinic's Regional Vice President for Southwestern Wisconsin, and Joe Cruz, Mayo's Administrative Chair for Southwestern Wisconsin. So I wonder if, you know, Dr. Johnson, you could talk about how this transition might affect, Mayo Franciscan financially. Are there different financial matters that need to be sorted out in this transition?
From a practical operating perspective, there really aren't any. As I mentioned, when the agreement was put together back in 1995, it was well outlined who owned what and what was shared as far as management as well as the operational aspects of the business. And really the Mayo side of the partnership has run the business of medicine and the clinical care of medicine. And the Franciscan Sisters have really had oversight in the area of values and our Catholic identity. And so the role of management and running the business of medicine has been in the lap of Mayo and stays there.
And Sister Karen, will there be any financial transition or discussions that need to be made for Viterbo as well?
No, we won't have anything, any kind of financial transfers or anything with Viterbo. It will continue to be a Catholic institution, and therefore it just continues as it is.
One other organization that's going to be impacted by this is St. Anthony Regional Hospital and Nursing Home in Carroll, Iowa. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, how the FSPA has been involved in that organization and what changes might happen there.
Mm-hmm. Again, there won't be a lot of changes. You know, it's the same answer probably because we're just passing over oversight. But it's an interesting, it's different than Mayo Clinic Franciscan Healthcare here because it's very small. Well, I shouldn't say very small. It's a town of about 10,000 people and very Catholic area. So they have been very involved down there with, all the Catholic parishes. And so it's a very different kind of thing. But they've managed to be an independent hospital and are doing very well, reaching out into the different areas right around them, collaborating with, larger hospitals who might have a certain area of medicine that, you know, they need to collaborate with or whatever. But it's a wonderful thing. And again, we went there to serve the needs of the German immigrants, a lot of Catholics in the area. So it just became something that was very vital to that community, in even more so than here. I mean, I shouldn't probably say that because it's here too, but there it's just like it's one of us or whatever. So they will continue. They have very good outreach with their people in the community. They sponsor, talks and just all kinds of things so that the community is very involved. So we're very pleased with them. And they definitely, as the other two institutions here, want to keep a relationship with you know, with the sisters. We have people on their boards, and it's the same as Viterbo. We're establishing St. Anthony Ministries, which will be a group of people that oversee their Catholic identity down there, so they will remain Catholic. And on that board or on that group of people, at the beginning will be some sisters and some lay people. Eventually, it might transition to all lay people as we move forward. But they will be the official connection then between the hospital and the local bishop and the Catholic Church. So, so they'll continue. They have a very vibrant organization.
You know, I've heard this described as the end of an era, both for FSPA and for the community. And Joe, I know you said that, you know, there's definitely some emotions there of seeing, you know, the FSPA kind of transition out of leadership. You know, Sister Karen, I wonder if that was, I mean, a factor in thinking about this transition, if there were any of those emotions there.
Oh, yes. There's always those emotions, you know, when you've been working with an organization and when you founded that organization, it is, it's a loss. I mean, any change is a loss. I think the sisters have worked with it enough for a number of years already, so we've processed a lot of the grief. But I think there is grief in all three institutions, you know, because that they've known the sisters and they've been inspired by the sisters a lot of times. So it is a loss. But it's a real opportunity, I think, for the sisters and for the institutions. And I keep saying, you know, that the Franciscan values have permeated those institutions, and they've got it within them now to carry forward their value-laden ministries. And we don't have to be the ones, you know, that have to oversee it, but now we can be collaborators on more of a mutual kind of a level, you know. So I think the staff and the leadership of the various institutions will do have some grief about the whole thing, you know, and it's just like it's such a change, and I think the sisters had you know been with it a long enough time that we're ready to you know to move on, but the institutions, the people there have only kind of are starting to absorb it right now, and we want to continue to be very close to them in this process.
Joe, I wonder how this maybe represents the bigger shifts that we've seen in kind of the healthcare industry. Dr. Johnson mentioned earlier that, you know, healthcare itself has changed a lot since this partnership began in 1995. And, you know, I don't know if this transition kind of represents some more of those changes.
It certainly does. I think that's exactly right. And one of the things that's going on in the country, you know, right now is a lot of consolidation of organizations that are coming together to form larger healthcare organizations. Many, many Catholic orders the size of the FSPAs have merged their healthcare ministries with other larger Catholic organizations. So there's some consolidation. There's consolidation going on in every part of our country now in Catholic healthcare. So this is very consistent with what's happening outside of Western Wisconsin. I think that actually was kind of considered, but because we had made the decision 22 years ago, and I was here when that was decided that, you know, the right thing for our setting, in our setting, for our organization was the affiliation with Mayo Clinic. I think that decision has proven to be a good decision. And so we're taking a different path. But what we're seeing happening here is very consistent across the country.
I think we've seen maybe a similar transition in the field of education as well, you know, education being maybe more of a big business, if you could say. And so, Sister Karen, I wonder, I don't know if this transition comes at a time when the FSPA isn't looking to kind of compete in those big businesses and maybe looking to different areas.
Mm-hmm. I think it's part of it. You know, it's not about maybe competing or whatever, but it's about oversight of large institutions. I think that we're moving on to something else at this point, you know, because there are so many needs and there are so many emerging needs where, you know, the sisters maybe can help out where, you know, they don't pay enough for a layperson to even make a living, you know, helping out in some areas where, you know, we sisters can meet the needs of that, of people like that. So, yes, I think that is definitely true.
Can you talk a little bit more about what areas specifically the FSPA is looking to get involved in?
Mm-hmm. It's we've been involved already. I mean, as this is typical of us, we, you know, it takes a long time to transition some of these things and we discern, but we've already started the transition a long time ago already. So we're already concerned in a we're already involved in a collaborative regarding human trafficking in La Crosse. Sister Marlene Weisenbeck, she didn't know much about it until President Obama had his, I can't even remember what the thing was, but it was on values. And so he needed people, you know, from the United States. And so Sister Marlene was able to go there. The topic was human trafficking, and she knew nothing about it. She learned that year. She came back here and hosted a gathering of local people that work with, you know, women, abuse victims, whatever. And so from that, just from her hosting, and she didn't know much about it, just kind of like when we started the hospital, we didn't know how to do nursing. She didn't know anything about human trafficking. And now, I mean, they are having influence in the Wisconsin legislature, and it's just really going. And another example is the homeless initiative that we've been involved in from the beginning. I was at a there were six of us sisters that got together one July 4th at our cottage. And I can't remember, it was a couple years ago anyway. And we kept saying, you know, what is the need here for the homeless? You know, the homeless, people are trying to work with something, but what is it? And we kept saying, well, they need a place to take a bath. They need laundry facilities, and those things aren't being met. And wouldn't it be great if we could do something like that? But again, we never do anything alone anymore. So we reached out to our affiliates, and then gradually they reached out to other people in the area, and then the local nonprofits who deal with the homeless all came together. And so again, I remember I didn't host, but one of our sisters hosted a meeting at St. Rose at our convent of all these different nonprofits that work with the homeless. So now there's coordination. So I guess we see ourselves as collaborators, as initiators, as mainly hosting, and so that we're bringing together people. And I think, you know, we have enough respect in the community that people trust us, you know, and so that we're able to work with other people. So we're doing those kinds of things in caring for the environment, in the immigration, all of those things that are emerging today, you know. And we continue to do it through our perpetual adoration, which has been going for 140 years now. And so we have like over 150 prayer partners, men and women from the local community who pray 1 hour a week with us. And so all of those things, we're not doing much alone anymore. It's always with other people. And I think that is a real message to our world today, you know. Can we collaborate? Can we work together and make something good happen? And that's, I think, what our goal is.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the future of Mayo Franciscan Health System and Viterbo University as the Franciscan Sisters transition out of leadership at these organizations. We're here with Sister Karen Leek, FSPA President, and Dr. Tim Johnson and Joe Cruz from Mayo Franciscan. Dr. Johnson, you know, we're hearing from Sister Karen about the different areas that the FSPA hopes to address, and you know, just as a community organization, as a part of this community, what will this mean for to have the sisters addressing these different issues?
Well, first of all, it's incredibly helpful because the sisters have a way of making a difference when they get their put their minds and their talents behind something. Things seem to happen, and we've witnessed that ever since they've been in this community. I think also it's really important to mention that they continue to be an inspiration. So we are certainly experiencing a loss as our partnership and sponsorship changes. But it is refreshing and inspiring just to witness the sisters, how they discern, how they reflect, how they step out in faith, and to walk away from sponsorships that are over 100 years old and step into something new, because that's where the need is. We can all gain and learn from just watching them and being fortunate enough to participate with them as they go in a different direction.
Yeah, Joe.
A story that I just learned about this morning just to gives an example perhaps of that quiet influence and strength that the sisters bring when they decide to do something. So I was on a call this morning, it was a meeting, and leadership at Mayo Clinic was talking about Mayo Clinic's involvement in the plans for the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. And so Mayo Clinic is an active member in the Super Bowl committee, which is the focus of that is the welcoming of all these guests to the Twin Cities for the Super Bowl in February. I think it's first week of February. So this is really interesting. The theme that Mayo Clinic is bringing to the table is to raise awareness of human trafficking. And that's their contribution to the Super Bowl committee's work, is to really elevate that issue for the nation as part of this big event. And I was thinking about, well, I don't know this, but I don't think that this would have ever crossed the minds of the Super Bowl committee if it hadn't been for groups like the Franciscan Sisters here in La Crosse raising that issue for our country. So the influence, it's really neat to see some of that stuff unfold.
Sister Karen, I wonder if this transition also represents changes within the FSPA. Mm-hmm. Are there factors, that are influencing your organization that maybe influence how you guys see yourselves playing a role in the community?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think our community changes over time, and like I said earlier, when we had, a lot of sisters, huge numbers. I mean, we were doing the church's work by staffing these institutions. And now, as our numbers have gotten somewhat smaller, it's not about staffing, Catholic institutions anymore. It's about seeing where, the needs are. And our younger members who are joining our community are people that are looking for how do we meet the needs of the poor or the marginalized. That's why they're coming to communities now. Whereas in the old days, I know when I was I was a teacher, so it's like, oh, they teach, and I have a religious, vocation, and so I'll teach. And now it's like they're looking at, and they come sometimes not even knowing what they want to do, but they want to work with the poor, they want to work with the marginalized, they want to work with community building, both within the community and, in the larger community. So, some of what we're doing right now is being influenced by our new members coming, they're all excited about the world and, that they really want to get out there. And I think in religious life as a whole, it's becoming more that way. So sisters all through the United States, that is becoming more their focus now. How do we help, social justice issues or pray for the needs of the world? It's becoming much more of our focus than it used to be, maybe.
Given this transition and all the new things and maybe the things that are not going to be changing with this transition. Joe, where do you see Mayo Clinic, in La Crosse being in 25 years? What do we think the future of the organization will look like?
I guess our vision would be that we will continue to be an important part of the community, meeting the healthcare needs of the folks that live in this region. Providing the very best care that is available at that time, bringing the best to our communities that we serve, but always doing that from the perspective of service and with the value, our Franciscan values at the center of what we do.
And Sister Karen, you know, where do you see the FSPA in 25 years? You know, given this transition, what do you hope comes from this transition?
Well, I guess I hope that it continues as we are moving right now. I mean, the vibrancy of our newer members, willingness to collaborate with people all around us, to continue to discern and to listen where we feel God is calling us. So it's a lot of what we're already doing, but I hope that it continues in that way, a vibrancy, serving the world, really letting everyone know how good everyone is and how good the world really is.
We've been talking with Sister Karen Leake, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, Joe Cruz, Mayo's administrative chair for Southwestern Wisconsin, and Dr. Tim Johnson, Mayo Clinic's regional vice president for Southwestern Wisconsin, about the future of Mayo Franciscan Health System and Viterbo University as the Franciscan Sisters focus on new issues within the community. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.